This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have a full four-hour show today. The Royals, they have the day off today, so they will not interrupt us. We can talk draft the entire hour. All right, this is where I would like to start about the Royals. Or excuse me, the Chiefs, excuse me. I think the Chiefs have sent a very, very clear message with their offense and how they have operated this offseason. The Chiefs spent the early part of it addressing what I think most people would consider their biggest need. They didn't have a left tackle really at any point last season. After the Kingsley Suamataia experiment did not work, they were scrambling the rest of the year to figure it out at the position. Now, they eventually found some stability with Joe Tooney, but that was never a long-term solution to it. They addressed that early on with free agency. Every move on offense since then has been continuing what they expected their offense to be heading into the year. They had a chance to move on from Juju Smith-Schuster. They brought him back. They had a chance to move on from Kareem Hunt. They brought him back this season. The Chiefs' theme of the offseason has been continuity. It has not been fresh rebuild or fresh restart. It has been, we were really good last year. And we were really good in the face of some pretty significant injuries. Think about last August and September for the Chiefs. In August, their big offensive addition broke his shoulder, essentially, in Hollywood Brown. In September, their best wide receiver tore his ACL. Their number one running back broke his leg. So we are talking about three significant offensive pieces within probably a 30-45-day stretch were done for major parts of the season. The Chiefs, I think, are telling you, we believe that we were going to have a really, really good offense with Kareem Hunt, with Isaiah Pacheco, bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster, bringing back Hollywood Brown. We don't feel like we needed too much outside contribution. We feel like all we needed was the guys to be healthy, and we were in line to having one of the better offenses in the National Football League. Look at their day one depth chart. And if we could now go back and look at the depth chart from 2024 after the draft, I don't think it looks any different than the one that they have right now. You might think a lot of positive things about this draft class, and it is a lot of positive things. They did not draft a single starter on offense in this draft. Josh Simmons, I don't think, is going to start day one for this team unless an injury happens. Jalen Royals, what scenario do you see him starting this year? Now, maybe he ends up starting because of the Rashee Rice injury, but even then, he goes into it as what, your third, maybe fourth wide receiver? I mean, he's behind Xavier Worthy. He's behind Hollywood Brown. Like, this team drafted three skill position players out of their seven draft picks. When they take the field first on offense or defense, you don't believe that any of them will be on the field. I don't think that's the case on defense. I think that is the case on offense. I think the Chiefs are letting you know we have enough on offense. We think we have enough at every layer of our team. We think we have enough at running back. We think we have enough at tight end. We think we have enough at wide receiver for this year. We didn't need to do anything bold. I think this draft is solid. I'm not here to tell you that I dislike the draft or that I think they needed to take bigger swings at these positions. I like the addition of Josh Simmons. I think it makes a lot of sense for them. I think he is a talent that isn't readily available to a team that picks in the bottom three of the NFL draft. I think they are thinking long-term about after Juwan Taylor and made a move. The move that I probably would have made in that scenario. So I'm very high on that pick. You then look at Jalen Royals. I think they got great value in the fourth round at pick 133 to go pick up a wide receiver. Now, I think we know, based on how Chiefs receivers move, I wouldn't count a lot on him in September or October, but the second half of the season, who knows what you could potentially get? And maybe you find a couple of formations or packages that he can help you early on in the year, but you were not expecting a big contribution from him, and you drafted a seventh round running back with the 228th pick. I don't think you're counting on him of being your number one day one running back. He might be in the mix somewhere, but I don't think he's going to be your workhorse number one primary rushing option for this season. So the Chiefs made a lot of moves on offense that are about 2026, that are about replacing current starters that they have. You got Smith that's going to be here for a little bit. Simmons is going to be here for a little bit. Jalen Royals is going to be here for a little bit. So you have a handful of options that are more long-term viable options for this team. I think that was the theme of this year's NFL draft. Now, this is where I disagree with the Chiefs. We've been talking about over the course of the day. I wanted them to spend more resource on running back. That's the one complaint that I have about their draft. I wanted them to spend more resources at running back. I just don't think that they spent enough at running back. I don't think they spent enough at running back this year. They had two opportunities to improve the running back room that was one of the worst in the leagues last year. They had two rushes that went over 20 yards last year. Their number one running back averaged 3.4 yards per carry last season. They were not dynamic in the run game. They decided to basically bring that entire room back, add Elijah Mitchell, and then they decided to spend the 228th overall pick on a running back. Where, if you go back and you kind of look at running back history, I think if you just spend a little bit more of a resource, I think you just get a better player and a better prospect. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is a very, very good player. And for a seventh round pick, for you to get what you've gotten out of Isaiah Pacheco, that is one of the better seventh round pick running backs that you could have gotten. But if you look at that same draft in which you got Isaiah Pacheco, if you had just spent a third, a fourth, a fifth round pick, you just would have got a better player. The text line disagrees with me. CDOT, there's no evidence that Tyler Allgeier is better than Pacheco. You're just saying thing for clicks. Well, Isaiah Pacheco's never run for 1,000 yards. Tyler Allgeier did it as a rookie. He is a rookie. So what are we talking about here? He's a better running back than Isaiah Pacheco. Now, maybe your argument is he's not worth the fifth round pick and there's not a big difference between him and Pacheco. I think that's a fair argument. But Tyler Allgeier is a better running back than him. There is a running back in every round of that class that if you look at, that is a better player than him. I am going to guess that 2-3 years from now, when we look back at this draft class, we will look back and think, man, I really wish the Chiefs had drafted fill in the blank running back. And most of these running backs that I'm advocating for were running backs that you guys like and know. They could have got Devin Neal if they wanted to. They could have got DJ Giddens if they wanted to. They could have got Dylan Sampson if they wanted to. They said no at every single turn at drafting one of these running backs. I know that protecting Patrick Mahomes is the most important thing. I agree with you. Part of protecting your quarterback is giving him a viable run game. And I am confused. How in a short period of time, in 5 years, in 2020, the Chiefs spent a first-round pick on a running back. I am confused at how in a very short period of time, the Chiefs went from breaking the cardinal sin about running back to then never spending any resource. Doesn't make sense to me.
Me and you kind of see this the same. We kind of see it different. I don't mind them waiting on running back in a running back heavy draft. But where me and you, I think, see it the same is I think they waited too long in the waiting game. I have the pick where I think the Chiefs may have screwed up. I think the linebacker from Oregon is the miss. I don't know the player's the miss. I know that, you know, all the they're the best. Who's the person who talked today to the media? The director of personnel said it was the best.
I can play here when you're done.
He was the best player on the board. That's fine. But you took a linebacker in the fifth round, a position you objectively do not need at a time in the draft where there was still Devin Neal, DJ Giddens, Dylan Sampson. There were guys that we spent a lot of airtime on this show talking about. They even traded up I got the ESPN alert on my phone. Chiefs trade up. They're out on the clock. And I thought to myself, okay, here we go. Here's the running back. It's round five. It's a deep class. There's these guys still on the board that they like. This is the moment. They didn't use an early pick on it, and I like that. You don't. That's fine. I thought round five, bing, bang, boom, here it comes. And they took a position they don't need. Objectively, they do not need a linebacker, and they waited again on running back. That really surprised me. So me and you see it similar but not the exact same. I don't like they waited till round seven on running back because I would have taken him in round five. Where me and you disagree is you would have taken him in two, three, or four because you felt like there was good value there. I would have waited till five, but when they took that linebacker, that's the one that puzzled me.
You're right, and I'm not going to complain too much about that. Like, I don't want to – I'm with you. If they had taken a running back there in the fifth round, I would have been perfectly fine. Where I will disagree with anybody, and I see it on the text line, well, why does it matter? They don't run the ball anyway. I mean, if you look at last year, Kareem Hunt got 200 carries for this team. 200 carries. That's three fewer carries than Devon Achane. Three fewer carries. Devon Achane, on three more carries than Kareem Hunt, got 180 more yards than he got. Kareem Hunt had seven fewer carries than James Cook. James Cook had 280 more rushing yards than Kareem Hunt did last year. Bucky Irving had seven more carries than Kareem Hunt. He had 400 more yards last season than Kareem Hunt on just seven more carries. My argument is not that the Chiefs need to draft a running back and use him like he's Derrick Henry. They got 325 carries last year. My argument is you kind of get what you pay for, that just in a comparable amount of carries. I mean, Breece Hall got 209 carries. Alvin Kamara got 218. You don't have to run the ball with these guys a whole lot. These other guys just do way more with their opportunities than the running backs that the Chiefs have. And that's what I want them to do. And that's what that's the swing I wanted them to take. Take a swing on a guy that if you give Devin Neal 200 carries next year, you give DJ Giddens 200 carries next year, DJ Giddens gets 975 yards with those 200 carries. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield. That taking that pressure off of your quarterback by running the football and using him in your pass and your run game helps your offense grow. You can get explosive plays not just from the pass game. You also can get it from the run game and the threat that you can run the football and how it opens up your offense. So we will obviously see if I'm right or wrong as the season progresses. And the Chiefs are taking a big gamble that Isaiah Pacheco is going to bounce back to form and be healthy this year. But I don't honestly have a whole lot of complaints about their draft. I like their draft for the most part. I just wanted them this offseason for a running back room that, once it got hit with a little bit of injury, you saw that you couldn't really generate big explosive plays from it. I simply wanted them to spend more of a resource in trying to find that explosiveness, and I'm not really sure if they did that this offseason.
Maybe this is revisionist history by me. That's fine. Should we have seen the writing on the wall when they brought back Kareem Hunt? I was very surprised. I don't want to say shocked because that's probably too much of a reaction, but I was very surprised when Kareem Hunt came back and fringed to this team. Can we now look back at it with the advantage of hindsight 2020 and say, them bringing back Kareem Hunt was probably a sign, was probably the moment. It should have been the marker, the checkpoint, whatever term you want to use, that, hey, maybe they're not as high. They're not going to spend a high pick on running back, because going into the draft, we talked about it. The room's kind of full, and they added a seventh round guy, and they can manipulate the roster to make it work. But it wasn't like there was a, you know, clear-cut roster spot. It wasn't like, oh, you have to fill a void. It's with the advantage of hindsight. Do we look back at that Kareem Hunt re-signing and go, that's the moment we should have known? Hey, the Chiefs maybe don't feel like they need a running back in the early rounds as much as me and you do, because they essentially have chosen Kareem Hunt over Cam Scataboo, pick a name, because that's what they did this offseason. They picked their guy at 29, 30 years old over a 22-year-old.
This is one of the things. We don't got to spend too much time arguing about running back. Like, I do like their class, so I don't want my feelings on running back to cloud how I feel about the class in general. So, C-Dot, how would you have felt if they had took Smith in the fifth, who was projected as a fourth-round pick, who had the fourth fastest 40 time then? One thing that I want us to stop doing about projections, especially once you get past the second round, is they don't mean anything. What does a draft projection mean? Who sets the draft projections? It's the media, right? These are not NFL general managers mock drafts. They're Kent Swanson mock drafts or Mel Kiper mock drafts. And there's nothing wrong with the mock draft. But I think we get so hell-bent on, well, the media says that he's supposed to get here, so it's really good value. The only people that determine your draft value are the 32 general managers that select them. So you can't tell me, well, he was projected to be a fourth-round pick from who? Because the NFL just told me he's a seventh-round pick. And that's all that matters where you get selected, is what they tell me you feel. So I'm not telling you that the guy's not going to work. But I'm telling you, in 15 years, there has been one seventh-round running back who has run for 1,000 yards in the season. Your likeliness of hitting at that spot is just not very high based on where you selected said player. So that's just my feeling on Breshad Smith. He is a wide receiver that was not an NFL prospect as a wide receiver. They then switched his position to a running back. He's played 1 year of running back, and he ate against okay teams, and like, I mean, his offense as a whole wasn't just him. Their offense really struggled against really good teams. That was kind of SMU's thing. SMU made the postseason last year largely because of schedule. We saw them when they played a really good team in Penn State's defense. He wasn't very effective in that game. We saw him against BYU, who was maybe the best team in the Big 12. He ran for 75 yards in that game. So some of it is I just don't love the prospect. A lot of it is I just don't like the swing that they took at the position. But looking at their draft class as a whole, I think it lines up with who they are. This draft comes down to one thing. How do you feel about Josh Simmons? What does he turn out to be? If Josh Simmons turns out to be their long-term answer at left and right tackle, I'm not too concerned about the rest of this draft class. There is one thing that they were really looking for in this class. Everywhere else, I think, is depth. Everywhere else is depth. If everything works out, the best that Jalen Royals can be is your third wide receiver. You think that Rice is better than him. You spent a bigger resource on him. You think that Xavier Worthy is better than him. You drafted Jalen Royals to be your third wide receiver. Now, he might end up being one of the best third receivers in the league, but that's fine. You drafted a off-ball linebacker that's probably, what, your third or fourth linebacker in Jeffrey Bosa? So if he turns out to be a productive player, cool. But you got Chenal, you got these other guys, like, you're hoping that he can be Drew Tranquil. I can live with that. I look at Noel Williams as a guy that this upcoming season, if he can end up being your third wide or your third corner, you're more than happy with that. You got McDuffie as your one. You got Christian Fulton as your two. You got Joshua Williams. You got Jalen Watson. And you got Noel Williams. If those are your five corners and you got Nazi Johnson as your sixth, and you got to anticipate that an injury is going to happen at some point, like, Noel Williams is a third round selection as a absolute ball hawk, a guy that can take the football away. You're never going to hear me complain about getting a strong nickel corner that can play on the outside and the inside and can take the ball away. And I also think in that second and third round, you took two swings. History tells you you ain't hitting on both. I know we don't want to have that conversation today, but they are not going 7-for-7 on draft picks. They're going to miss on a couple of these draft picks. But if you were telling me you took two swings at defensive line at 63 and 66, and if you can get one of those guys to turn into a productive player, maybe Jelati turns into be a very good rotational edge that can get sacks off the other side, or Lott turns into be a really good run stuffer or pass rusher right up the middle alongside Chris Jones, I think you're more than happy with this draft class. But this draft class is about one thing. This draft class is about Joshua Simmons and what does he project for the future. And in 2026, if you want to play this thing out a little bit, we expect that Kelsey's number is going to be off the board. We're also going to expect that Juwan Taylor's number is going to be off the board. And you can always, you reach a deal with Trey Smith so it creates cap space. You can restructure Patrick Mahomes' deal. I mean, in 2026, they are going to be a much younger team. And they're also going to have a lot of cap space to take a couple of big swings in free agency, and maybe you go spend a little money at running back. Maybe you go spend some money at wide receiver. Maybe you spend a little money to go get another corner opposite or however you want to handle it. But I think you have to look at this plan as really a 12-month plan, factoring in this draft and what I think it means potentially for their draft next year.
Let me ask you a question. I agree that the long-term success of this draft hinges on Joshua Simmons. I think we played it earlier. Mike Renner has this as an A. I think if in 4 or 5 years' time, Joshua Simmons is like your starting left tackle, you can pencil him in every single season, he's a quality player, the grades go up. I think it could be an A+ because you found that guy. So I agree with you there. But we said going into this draft, the Chiefs needed to find two, maybe three starters, especially considering they had what? Three picks in the top 100, and they had what? They moved up a little bit for Royals. So they had four, you know, I don't want to say premium, but they had four quality picks early in the NFL draft. Carrington, looking at the seven selections the Chiefs made over the weekend, how many starters do you think they got? Because we said get two or three. Do you think they walked away from the draft with two or three starters? Because I think that will determine how people view this draft. I view it as get some starters.
Are we talking long term? Are we talking week one?
Both. Because I don't think Simmons is week one.
I don't think they got any starter on offense for week one. I'm going to say that Norman Lott starts for them. I think there is a chance that Noah Williams does.
I think those are the two. Yep.
If you're counting Williams as, if you were counting your nickel corner, your third corner as a starter, which I think you can in today's NFL, I think there's a chance he's a starter. That's probably it. They, out of their seven selections, they probably have two starters for their week one game.
I would agree. I think Jelani could also start depending on like a minute. I could see a world where that guy runs FAU out. I could see that world.
Yeah, I guess with him, and I don't disagree that much with you. If you brought Aminihu back on a 1-year deal and he ain't healthy enough to start week one, why is he back on the team? Like, this is the guy who was anticipating to get a big contract. He came back on a 1-year deal.
True.
I think for the most part, their DN situation is figured out. It's Aminihu on one side. It's Karlaftis on the other side. Now we're trying to figure out who that third pass rusher is going to be. And in those situational downs, who else is going to be on the field? And does Jelani pass FAU? And is he your primary kind of third, fourth pass rush type? But that guy's not a starter for me, not week one.
No, it's like 2.5. I think he'll be used situationally enough where he can be like, you know, Mike Dana's not a starter for this team, but he plays important snaps. I think that's the group. So that's why I have it the same way you do. I have it solid. But I could see how, not you or I, a Chiefs fan could say, they walked away with zero starters. Is that a quality draft? Because as much as me and you believe there are two, we still kind of had to squint and kind of talk our way into the two. You could easily have a conversation if they got none. So that's why this draft, I think, is fascinating for the Chiefs. I think you could walk away with four long-term starters, two right now. You could also walk away with none right now and maybe one, two in the future.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, I think that Smith is going to turn into Jerick McKinnon for us. And if he turns out to be Jerick McKinnon, I would say that that is a very, very positive thing. I think what I wanted the Chiefs to do was to find James Cook in this draft class. I don't think James Cook is one of the 10 best running backs in the league, but we've seen Buffalo enough. James Cook is a dynamic weapon. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run 400 yards. He's a great complement to what they do in their run game. Maybe that's what I wanted them to find. And it doesn't sound like they think they need that for this upcoming year, or they think that's what Isaiah Pacheco will be this upcoming season. So we will see how it plays itself out. But we now have the answer. They're done. This is their roster. They are not adding another significant piece. That time is over. Free agency is over. Sure, there might be a veteran that gets cut and maybe an injury happens, but the heavy lifting of how you build your roster is done. I think the Chiefs sent a very clear message. We think we were in line to have a top five, top eight offense, and injuries derailed us. And if we can keep everybody healthy, we think that we have one of the better offenses in the National Football League. We will obviously see how that plays itself out this season. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the top national story in the draft, about what happened with Shedeur Sanders. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, let's talk about the top story from the draft. Let's talk about Shedeur Sanders. There are a couple of different things at play with Shedeur. Let's try to touch on all of those things. Number one, and I think this is the most important thing, I believe a majority of this is self-inflicted by Shedeur. I believe that Shedeur Sanders tried to manipulate the draft in a way to determine where he would go. I think that Shedeur Sanders has a very inflated self-opinion and self-worth about his position in the NFL. I've seen people complain. Well, Eli did it. Well, John Elway did it. Well, the NFL just clearly told you they don't think he's that. Because for all the NFL's flaws, I think the NFL is pretty consistent about one thing. If you can play, we are willing to overlook a lot of things. Jalen Carter was a top 10 pick, and he killed someone. Tyreek Hill does not appear to be a very pleasant human being. The NFL has paid him tens and over $100 million to keep playing football and have looked the other way for repeated nonsense for Tyreek Hill because he is one of the greatest deep threats in the history of the league. The NFL is not really in the moral police business. They are in the can you play? And I think the NFL is pretty clearly telling you about Shadur. Yeah, maybe you can play, but we don't think that you are worth all of the things that you come with. We talk about these interviews, they're job interviews. They're job interviews. And they're job interviews where it is obvious that the teams talk to each other. It's not like the Chiefs never talk to the Lions or the Lions never talk to the Eagles. These teams are in constant communication with each other. These guys have all worked together at various times. They change teams. They change jobs. They share information. There have been enough conversations about Shadur to come to the conclusion that he did not interview well. So there are a couple portions of the offseason. You refuse to test when it's time to test. They have a test. It's called the NFL Combine. You go there, you show up, you run, you throw, you lift, you do all of these things. Shadur thought he was too good to do that. Yeah, you can skip the Combine if you're Travis Hunter. You can skip the Combine if you're Ashton Jeanty, if you're Abdul Carter. If you're a middle tier prospect, you should probably do the draft. You should probably do the Combine. He just had no interest in doing it. So you don't have an interest in doing the physicals. You then perform very poorly on the interviews. Well, then something's got to give. You know what gave? Your draft position that gave. And I think the teams came to this conclusion. If we don't see you as a starter, how are you going to handle being a backup? I think this is fair to say about Shadur. Every major football experience he has had, it has been about him. His dad was his high school coach. And then when it was time for him to go to college, his dad became a college coach. And yeah, I went to go play for my pops. Then when it was time for you to go to another level, your dad then took a Division I job. Every experience that you have had in football, your pops has been in the middle of it. That ends now. How do you operate when everything is not about you? Can we trust you to be a backup? I've had this question about Shadur from the very, very beginning. Do you want to be famous or do you want to be a football player? Because sometimes those are not the same things. Yes, you can be a football player who gets really famous. Patrick Mahomes got really famous. Russell Wilson got really famous. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. We can name plenty of players. But you have never questioned if the work comes first with those individuals. Mahomes has his fun, and he goes to Coachella, and they go to the Met Gala, and they do all the things that really famous people do. But you have never questioned when it's time to lock in, hey, I'm ready to play football. I'm going to be the best teammate that I can be. I'm going to work out. I'm going to put myself in the best physical shape to go compete. Shadur Sanders has a SoundCloud page. After not being drafted in round one, after the concert, or after the thing, he had a concert. Can you imagine that? I thought I was going to be a top pick. Afterwards, I mean, I didn't just, hey, you know, hey, I'm just going to go to bed. He had a concert at his house afterwards. I think it's a fair thing to say, hey, are you fully committed to being a football player or are you an Instagram influencer that also plays football in his free time? And I think that turned some people off. I also think what happened this weekend was very, very simple. I think that we in the media overvalued Shadur Sanders basically this entire time because he generates reaction. I think we can say this about celebrity culture in 2025, and we've said this for a long time. The best thing that you can be is polarizing. It's have opinions on both sides. Some people love Shadur. They love what he represents. Some of you hate Shadur. For whatever reason, you hate him. You don't like his attitude. You don't like his pop. You don't like the way he carries himself. Those are the people that drive interest, people that get interest from both sides. Some of you love LeBron and think he is the greatest basketball player. Some of you hate LeBron James. And that is part of why he's become one of the most famous Americans, is that polarization. That is what Shadur does. So you are getting it from both sides. You are watching the draft to see where he goes. You think that a huge injustice is happening, or you are watching it, laughing at him, hoping that he continues to fall out of this draft class. We did this in the media. We talked about Shadur like he was the belle of the ball. He wasn't. Shadur Sanders was a woman with a very inflated opinion about herself. I think we've all come across this woman. I mean, she's cute. You don't think she's ugly by any means, but she thinks she's a 9 or a 10. Baby girl, you're a 6. I mean, you're not ugly, but you think you're way finer than what you are. You think you J-Lo. You're not that. You act like you're Blake Lively. You are not Blake Lively. You're cute, though. I think that's who Shadur is. I think he's cute. I think he's an NFL quarterback that walks around like he's Jennifer Lopez, that walks around like he's Eva Mendez. And I think the league just told you, you ain't that fine to be doing this. But I think the thing that is most important with Shadur, the overall point, it does not matter where you get drafted in the league. It might matter for Instagram, might matter for Twitter, and sure, you want to say, and yes, it matters on your first contract. It does not matter. In the end, I think it actually worked out for Shadur. These are the other quarterbacks in that room. Mr. Nasty Man, who tore his Achilles, who is not going to start the season. Joe Flacco, who is 147 years old. Kenny Pickett, who is nobody starting quarterback in the league. Shadur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. I believe that at some point, Shadur Sanders is going to get an opportunity to start. I do. I believe he'll get an opportunity to start. And what I love most about sports, what I love most about competition is eventually you get a chance to prove it. If you think you are the best speller in the world, they got a competition for that. If you think you are the best at swimming, they have a every 4-year competition. Let's see if you're the best at it. If you're the best basketball team, you get an opportunity to prove it. In sports, you usually get your moment. He will get a chance to start. He will get a chance to be on the field. He'll get a chance to prove himself in practice. And nothing that happened this past weekend matters. Put your head down, ball out, and do the work. There are some people that, it wasn't fair, man. There are people that complain. We all know those people. They had the potential to do something, but why they didn't do it is always somebody else's fault. Man, the boss didn't give me a chance. And there are some people that take that unfair situation, they put their head down, they do the work, and they rise above it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make a way. If you're not going to give me a chance, I'm going to take a chance. And that's what I hope Shadur does. I want Shadur to have success. I think she's a very exciting player, and it will be the best for my profession if he turns out to be good. Can you imagine if in the midst of all of this, he turns out to be Dak Prescott? Oh my goodness, that'd be incredible if that's what he turns out to be. I'd love it if he turns out to be that. But I have no control over his story. You have no control over his story. He does. Are you going to cry about how the system was unfair and everybody picked on you and they didn't give you a fair chance? Or are you going to put your head down and do the work? Life is a series of problem solving. That's what it is. This thing happened. How am I going to respond to it? I want to see how he responds to this. You have been put on a pedestal your entire athletic career based on your pops, based on a lot of things. That is no longer the case. This is a grown man league. And trust me, this grown man league has no problem kicking you out of it. They have kicked far better players out of their fraternity than you are. And I hope he's ready for that challenge. I'm really excited to see how Shadur Sanders' story ends because it has gotten off to a very entertaining start. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm telling you guys this. Just as a point of reference, it's not like a flex or anything. So I will be gone Thursday and Friday because I'm heading to Louisville for the Kentucky Derby. It is one of the things that have been on my bucket list since I was a kid. And as I've gotten older, I am big on just experiences. You know, like I want to do these things and I'm in a position that I can do these things. So I'm going to the Derby. So, Rob, this past weekend was time for me to go get my clothes. You can't go to the Derby in regular stuff. You can't go with what you already got. You got to be suited and booted for this thing, right? So I got my clothes. Shout out to Tide Clothiers and Ward Parkway. Hooked me up. I'm very happy with my fit. And then I was like, hey, well, you guys got hats. They were like, no, we don't have hats. And I'm like, I can't go to the Derby and I ain't got a hat. I got to have a hat. So he's like, all right, here's some places you got to go. And I'm going to give you guys a little tip here. I don't use Google anymore. I use ChatGPT. ChatGPT has become my new Google. If I got a question, oh, trust me, that thing going to give you an answer. It's going to send you the link. It's an incredible piece of technology. So I typed it in. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Hey, where do I get a hat for the Derby? I got to have a hat. They told me this place. It's called The Missing Piece. It's down in Crown Center. I don't know why I thought that these hats were going to be a reasonable price. I don't know why I thought this. But I'm thinking, who really wears these kind of hats? I mean, I don't wear these kind of hats. Rob, I've seen you a bunch. I don't see you wearing a lot of top hats or fedoras or anything. I always thought these hats were like $30, $40, $50. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, hey, this hat's not going to be that much. Rob, I went in there, and it was this older gentleman, older black gentleman. I think his name was Michael. Owned the place. Been selling hats for 42 years. I looked at him, I was like, hey, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I have absolutely no clue what I am doing. Can you help me? Here, I have a picture of what I'm wearing for both days, for the Friday races and for the actual Derby on Saturday. Can you help me? He was like, oh, yeah, of course. Right, we started looking around, and I started seeing the prices on these hats. Y'all be spending all this kind of money on these hats? These hats were like $200, $300. I had absolutely no clue. None. I was flabbergasted that this was something that people do regularly. Wear these kind of hats. Rob, it took me 2 hours to find a hat. I was looking through all of it, because then you can't get it wrong. The hat's important. I was FaceTiming people. I was really trying to make sure I made the right decision about the kind of hat I was going to wear for this festivities. I eventually landed on two hats. So I'm happy with the hats that I eventually selected for the Kentucky Derby. And I will show you guys a picture when it's appropriate time of what I wore to the Derby. But it was not cheap for these two hats. And I don't think I will ever go hat shopping again after this experience. It was a lot to think about, a lot to do.
We have another 2-3 days before you leave. We can have this conversation, but are you going to have a mint julep when you're down there? I know your adversity to dark liquor, so I'm just curious. You got the suit.
I've actually had one before.
Okay.
I will have another one, yes.
I imagine there's a different ballgame.
I got the all-inclusive package, so it's all you can eat, all you can drink for 2 days. Yes, I will have a mint julep. I mean, I might as well. I've already paid for it. I might as well try it. You know, I'm not really a bourbon individual, but I can't be there and I can't not have the julep. You got to go for the julep.
Who will look better, last year's Hunter Dickinson fit or this year's Carrington Harrison fit?
He went to the Derby?
Yeah, I forget what.
I got to see what he wore then. I don't know.
He's a millionaire, so he can do these kind of things.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know what he wore. I'm going with my mom and my sister. We are all taking the drive down there. So I'm driving down there on Thursday, and then I will be there Friday and Saturday, and we will drive back on Sunday. So I will miss two shows, but I will be back with stories to tell you guys about my experiences at the Kentucky Derby. I'm very excited to go.
So you're not going to do the bourbon trail while you're down there?
I'm not planning on it, no. I'm not planning on it. I've been to Louisville one other time. Louisville's fun. I think what I realize more as I travel is there's like three kinds of places in America. There are like metropolises that are like kind of unique, right? Like you've been to LA. LA and Miami are not alike. New York and Chicago, similar, very, very different though in a lot of ways. Then there are, I would say, regular cities. Like we live in a city. Kansas City is not that much different than Indianapolis, not that much different than Louisville. Like the biggest thing is like, do you have a football team or not? And then there's like towns, I would say. But Louisville is a very fun city. I've been there one time and I had a good time. I'm looking forward to the Derby's been very, very high on my list. Like the way you feel about going to Augusta and the Masters is how I feel about going to the Kentucky Derby. Like I don't really have the golf dream. I mean, I would go, but I mean, I want to go just because it's the Masters, but I never like, oh, man, one day I want to go to the Masters. I never had that dream. I've always wanted to go to the Derby and wear a goofy hat and drink mint juleps. Very excited about it. While you're here talking about the Royals in the eighth inning, I will not be participating in any of that, actually. What are we going to do today? What are you going to do? NBA playoffs?
Cavs and Heat, baby.
I got to go see Sinners. It's time. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.